Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You never stop, 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 you never st it shall surely come to pass. The things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit I'm making the way. And by my Spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. He is an awesome God. He is a great God. He is a good God. Hallelujah. Merciful, merciful one. God, we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are so thankful for the opportunity that he allows us, hallelujah, to come on and share his word with his people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. He knows what we, hallelujah, been going through in this life. And he knew we would go through everything we're going through, my brother and sister. And so he's there for us. He told his disciple, I will be with you all the days of your life. You will be with them. And he is with us, my brother and sister. He knows exactly what we are going through. Hallelujah. And we are so thankful for his love. We are so thankful for his mercy that he has with each and one of us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome, 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 awesome God we serve. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are grateful, grateful, grateful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go. Praise you, Jesus, into the word. Hallelujah, of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, with his people. The Lord has shared with me something today, this morning. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord has spoken with me this morning. Hallelujah, and I believe this word is a must of importance to the Lord. Amen, shalom, God. Thank you, the Lord's servant. Hallelujah. I believe the word is very important to the Lord because he's given me the word. Hallelujah. And I knew that the word is for me to share. He said, remember prior to this that, hallelujah, I was to share his revelation with his people. Amen. So they are very important to the Lord because his people are very important to the Lord. Shalom, shalom, Brother Estrada. Hallelujah. Welcome, brother. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. We are grateful. We are so grateful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Someone said they have no sound. I believe they need to check because everybody else has sound. I like to check that whether people can hear me before we can go ahead and proceed with the word of the Lord. It's just so important that we share his word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to share what Jesus spoke to me this morning of the things that are going to happen according to the Lord very soon. It's the word very soon. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let me go into the word Hebrews 13:8. This is our foundation in Jesus. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, God has not changed. Okay, the same. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah, Consuelo. God who created everything, who created all of us, he doesn't change. He's the same God, loving, caring, who take care of his people. Amen. And he is for his people. And so he's been the same from the beginning. It's not for any human to say, but God changed. What is for us to expect God change? God doesn't change. He's the same, my brother and sister. So our hope, our foundation is firm, is everlasting, endures forever. He is a solid rock, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So our foundation is solid. Solid. Okay? There's no way that if we trust in him, we'll fail, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 20:18. And when Jesus came near, he spoke to them saying, and I'm reading from the God's word. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Okay? So when we talk about Jesus and the authority given to him, all authority is given to him in heaven and in earth, my brother and sister. Does he know what he's talking about? Yes. Can he do what he promised? Yes. Because all authority has been given to him. You see, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all authority has been given to him. Okay? He will perform what he says in his word he was going to do. Because he has all authority. It's not a lack of authority in his part. It's not a lack of power. Because other translations says all power. It's not a lack of power in his part. But it's because he's loving and patient. My brother and sister. So we can trust his word, his promise, for sure. Amen. Revelation 6:6-7. And he swore an oath by the one who liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and everything in it, the earth and everything in it, the sea and everything in it. He said, there will be no more delay. In the day when the seventh angel is ready to blow the trumpet, and this is the last trumpet, the mystery of God will be completed. Seven means completion, fulfillment. When the last trumpet sounds, that's it. My brother and sister, and he made this good news known to his servant, the prophet. Okay, he told us this will be. Okay, the church is going home at the last trumpet. The last trumpet is about to be sound. The last shofar in Hebrew is about to be sound. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. So, so important that we understand his promise. Matthew 24:35, the earth and the heaven will disappear, but be no more. But the word will never disappear. So what are we waiting for? The fulfillment of his word. One of the words the Lord told me last week that's been fulfilled is that his gospel will be preached unto all the nations and until the end of the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then the end will come, Matthew 24. And that's where we are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. His gospel has been preached unto all the nations as a witness. It's the word of God. It's the only thing that remains forever, the word. Heaven will pass. That's why he created eternity. We're going to eternity with him. Earth will pass. Okay? And if you read Revelation 21, you read that. That he makes new heaven and new earth. I mean, the former things, says Isaiah, passes away. Will be no more. Will disappear. Will dissipate. Will not be there. Okay, they will look for him when they will not find it because it won't be. It won't be anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 16:17. It is easier for the earth and the heaven to disappear than to a drop of a command from the scripture, from the word, a comma. Okay, so everything will be fulfilled. This is what the apostle Luke heard when Jesus was teaching. Luke 21:33, the earth and the heaven will disappear, said the apostle Luke. But my word will never disappear. The other apostle said, will not disappear. This one said, will never. Amen. They were both sitting there listening to the Lord, but in their writing, that's what they wrote, my brother and sister. Confirming each other, though. Thank you, Lord. His word. Thank you, Jesus. Will disappear. Hallelujah. Last night, after finish with the Lord around 2:30 in the morning, I was planning to go to sleep, but the Lord had other plans for me. How sometimes he doesn't want us to sleep. He told me a couple of weeks ago, you sleep too much. So, praise you, Lord. I thought it was funny at the same time because I was complaining I had not slept for days. I was looking to sleep, and he wanted me to stay up in prayer. And then he said, you sleep too much. Praise you, Lord. He knows everything, right? Praise you, God. Amen. So, shalom, Ezra. Yeah, we look forward to sleeping. Jesus never looked forward to sleeping when he was on earth. He always looked forward to spending time with the Father in prayer. Actually, when he did thousands of miracles and people were celebrating when they looked for him, they could not find him because he was in prayer with the Father all night. He never looked forward to sleeping. Okay? Never looked forward. Oh, you got to get 8 hours of sleep. Nonsense. Not to the Lord. He told me that not you sleep too much. I was thinking I haven't slept for days. He said you sleep too much. He knows everything. What do we know? We're learning. Praise you. So last night, praise you, Jesus. I was planning to go to sleep. Finished about 2:20, 2:30 in the morning. My prayer with him. But he didn't want me to go to sleep. Okay? Whatever he wants. Praise you, Lord. And so I knew, okay, I'll lay down and keep praying. Just keep praying. Praise you, Lord. Your body will get tired. But thank you, Jesus. It was for a good reason, though. And so he's always right, my brother and sister. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Then early after praying early in the morning, he came to me. He began to talk to me. And he took me in the spirit to New Jersey. To this place, I don't remember being there for a while. It looked to me like a laundromat that we went a while ago, my wife and I. And they had this television there, like to watch the news. And praise you, Lord, he began to talk to me. Shalom, sister, healing of the heart. He began to talk to me. And he says to me, my brother and sister, When the virus came in 2019, were people ready for it? He says to me, hallelujah. And I'm thinking, no. He said they were not ready when the virus came in 2019. By 2020, people had to wear masks. Most of the people were at home. It didn't matter what condition people find themselves. What situation, whether they were ready or not, when the virus came, most of the people in 2020, the Lord was talking to me, had to stay at home. There was no, the mandate is that most of the people have to stay at home. Everyone's life, the Lord says to me, changed. It changed, he says to me. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. And so, then he says to me that whether people are ready or not, change is coming. He says to me, before that, he says, nothing is going to back to being the same as it was, as people call it, normal before 2019. Life is not going to be that anymore, he says to me. Okay, change is coming, my brother and sister. While I was standing there, in the laundry, in the spirit, the church disappeared. There were people, like with Moses' body, when God buried Moses' body, they looked for his body for over 30 days or 40 days, and they could not find Moses' body. God buried him, okay? God buried Moses' body. And people had like the same attitude when the church disappeared. It's just the churches disappear. And where are they? People are wondering and talking and thinking. And you know, at the moment it was so sudden that the church disappeared because the church hear the trumpet. And the church disappeared. And I was next in New York City. In that entire state of New Jersey, it was like I could hear people saying to one another, where are they? Where are these people went to? How come someone said, it made no sense that people just disappear like that. That's what people were saying to one another. It made no sense that people and like children disappear. Like, where did they go? You know? Because if you don't believe in Jesus, and if you don't believe in the rapture, you didn't got ready. Think about it. They didn't get ready for the rapture because they didn't believe in the rapture. They were not looking forward to be going home in the rapture because they didn't believe in the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ. And the Lord had me hear what these people were saying to one another. Where did these people go? How did all these people disappear? No one knows. Well, someone said, it was not that many that disappeared, though. It was not, but yeah, truly, you know. I even heard someone say, government needs to come out with an explanation for this. Someone said, government needs to study what happened, and they need to come out with an explanation. How do people just disappear? That made no sense, you know? And you know, my understanding of hearing these people saying these things is they didn't believe the message of the Lord. They didn't believe the Lord. They didn't believe the message, the rapture, the departure message. So they didn't got ready for that. It was just your common people that like to go to work every day. And the Lord began to tell me that life for them is not going to be the same like they think, like going to work 8 hours every day and working overtime as you need it. No. Their entire life, the entire world life is about to change. My brother and sister, it's about to change. All of a sudden, as I'm watching the television, the Lord wanted me to experience the beginning of the great 7-year great tribulation. A heaviness came over the air on this earth. You knew immediately that something just happened. And spiritually, I can discern like great evil had just arrived on the earth. Great fallen ones had just arrived. And I understand it better because in another situation, when God was talking to me, with Cernus in Europe, when the fallen Nestalians who were locked up on the Atlantica got released out by Father. Father said his people, he told me this in heaven one time, that before he releases them, okay, his people will not be on the earth. He's going to take his children out of the way, and then he's going to release them, okay? And I saw when Father releases them, and immediately when he releases them out of prison, they came to the earth. They came running. I saw people in major highways here in the United States when these demons, my brother, these Nephthalians, okay, began to break people's glasses and people's cars and began to grab people by the chest and get them out of the car and throw them and beat on people. And people were like, some people were coming out of the car just running, okay? My brother and sisters, it was a mess. And you could hear people screaming, women, men screaming and running for their life. Run, run, run. Other people started saying, they just begin all to run, 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 run. So this morning when the Lord is talking to me about this, when he allowed me to experience the beginning of the Great Tribulation, at that very second when it began, it was like what the Lord has said to some of his prophets, suspending the natural for the supernatural to flow, the goal to begin, my brother and sister. And what he was showing me that this change is imminent, very soon, is the word he used, very soon to happen. Okay, whether people are ready, whether people are not ready, whatever the situation they find is, that's why when he talks to me about the virus starting in 2019. when it started in 2019 and it spread in 2020, were people ready for it? No, they were not. It didn't matter the situation they find themselves. It just happened. Their whole life changed. Okay? And it's all over the world. Now, with the great tribulation that is about to begin, it's going to be the same. Don't matter whether people, if people that are, that he said people should be repenting to be going home, but if they're not, they're going to experience the great tribulation. Okay? It don't matter in the situation people find themselves, because those that are going home with him that already are going home, and that's it, they're not going to experience that. But those that are staying behind, whether they go to church or not, whether they believe in God or not, it's the same thing with the virus, right? Don't matter the situation they find themselves, if they're working 8 hours, if they're home not working, if they're out partying, if they're in the club, if they're in the movie, it don't matter where people are, like when the virus came. It didn't matter where they are. My brother and sister, it just began. And I'm like, wow. Wow. Listening to him, and at the same thing, he's showing me the event unfolding. As he's speaking these things, I can see them like a movie in front of me. Things happening as he said it, because God speak and his word come to pass right away. Right away. And he let me know that God already determined this, and there's no going back. God determined this. So someone says to me a few days ago, scientists in California, because of the Madrid 4 and all the study they're doing, they already determined that from here to 40 days, a few days ago, the major earthquake in California, they're almost certain this is going to happen from here in 40 days. Someone was telling me the study is online. I haven't seen it, but someone said this to me. I said, wow. Say yes, Beloved. Israel right now have announced and said several times that the war against Iran, they're about to begin it. Even Biden had told them to hold on. Hold on. Hold on. He met with Biden a few days in the White House. I don't know how many of you saw that. The new leader of Israel, Naftali, I believe it is. And he told Biden, we're going to attack Iran. We're going to attack Iran. The war in Iran is about to happen. A few weeks ago, a sister had a dream. In the dream, she waked up, and what she saw was an eastern tsunami hitting New York with violence, she said. In the dream, she knew that this eastern tsunami is like yesterday news in the spirit. It's about to start hit any day. New York City. Where is the major movement right now where the only state in the United States that is setting this month mandatory vaccination upon the healthcare worker? New York City. Where did the sister saw the earthquake hit New York a few weeks ago? Shalom, Sister Renee. My brother and sister. I said to someone on the phone, God cannot release the judgment. You see, if you'll get taken to court, if you're being accused of something, there's got to be proof that you did so. You got to present the proof to the judge. God cannot release his judgment until this earth, my brother and sister, is guilty. New York City needs to sign that into law, to make the vaccine mandatory. When they do so, they are guilty before the throne of God. You understand? They're already guilty for all the clinics that are killing 6,000 babies every week before the throne of God. Okay? But remember the accusation of two witnesses or three. So, one more proof of the guilt of the guiltiness of New York is signing into law the mandatory vaccine for the healthcare worker. And then the killing of those babies, that's it. That's it. In the court of heaven, they're guilty. The judgment can be released over them. My brother and sister. Same thing with California. Before the earthquake hit, they need to be guilty before the throne. And then judgment is passed. and it had to come to pass. Simply the way it is. You can't take someone to court and say, this person did this. So where's your proof, the judge is going to say? There has to be proof. And all heaven is witness watching them signing into law mandatory by the nation. My brother and sister, their judgment is not going to delay. It's not going to delay. Hallelujah. Yes, October 1st. Is that in California, Sister Consuelo? I know they're doing that in New York. I'm not sure about California. October 1st, okay, and I believe it's the 27th for New York of this month. If it's the first, October 1st is the Consuelo saying, I mean, in California. If that is California, that's, you know, that really makes sense of what the sister saw. The people are seeing, and what the Lord showed me, the California earthquake happening, you know, almost for sure quickly, soon, or sooner than soon. Now, soon was years ago. Now, it's sooner than soon. Yes, for the state of California. Thank you. So, there you go. October 1st, mandatory vaccination. We need to keep Sister Consuelo in prayer. Okay, I believe she works in the health care there in California. So, healthcare department. So we need to keep her in prayer. And anybody else who are in those states where they are going to make these vaccine mandatory, please do not take it. No matter what, do not take it. The Lord has great reward for your life in heaven. Okay? Do not take it, Sister Consuelo. Do not take it. Anyone listening to me. Do not take this by saying, even though they're going to make it mandatory. Yes, persecution against the saints must come. Because, again, that also makes him guilty in the court of Father. And when Father declares his judgment, it'll happen quickly. You will see judgment upon these things so quickly, you'll be surprised. How did it just happen so quickly, you're going to say? Because, again, once they found guilty, once the proof on what they're assigning, that's it. The judgment comes quickly. My brother and sister, you're going to see this judgment unfold quickly. So the Lord talking to me this morning and showing me the judgment, the great tribulation that is very soon to begin. Okay? That's for the country of Los Angeles. Amen. All state employee and all federal employee. There you go. You see, brother and sister? Once they do it, that's October 1st, okay? That's only what, 24 days, okay? 26 days, I believe it is. Hallelujah. Yes, it is that. It is that, what they're doing. So, these things are coming. These things are coming. I want you to hear that the great tribulation is Jacob's trouble. And I want to show you what trouble Jacob. All the injustice that troubled Jacob. All the injustice that troubled, amen, Sister Luna, we'll keep you also in prayer. All the injustice that is going to trouble, hallelujah, people in the Great Tribulation, Israel specifically. Because Jacob's trouble is Israel's trouble in the Great Tribulation. Okay? Jacob said, and I heard the word of Laban in Genesis 31, Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was of our father, and from that which were our father had now he gotten all the glory. Okay? Jacob now being so powerful, these men were envy of him, but it was not nothing to do that he was stealing from Laban. Accusing Jacob of taking from their father Laban what he had. But that was not the case. It was God blessing him, my brother and sister. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. He was not friendly anymore. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return to thy land and thy father and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Jacob, it's time for you to move. Okay? Look for the behavior when God tells you to move. He told me to move also. Hallelujah. He told me to move, so I'm doing so. I'm moving. I'm in the process of moving. Praise the Lord, because he told me to move. He told me where to go. Thank you, Lord. And so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field into the flock. He sent for them. Jacob sent for Leah and Rachel. This is a family matter. Let's talk about this. Praise your Lord. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but God as the Father has been with me. And this is what you got to see in your life. No matter what you're going through, you may have your family or your family-in-law or your in-law not for you. But really what matters is that the Lord is for you. Even though people get mad at you for no reason, the Lord is for you. That's what really matters. Remember this. That's what mattered to Jacob. Verse 6, and you know that with all my power I have served your father. Jacob was a faithful man unto Laban. Okay? But when people begin to hate you, it doesn't matter how faithful you are. They just hate you. And they hate you because of the Lord. And the Bible said you are blessed for that. Amen? Verse 7, and your father had deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Wages 10 times. But God did not suffer him to hurt me. My brother and sister, you see Jacob's trouble here? What did Jesus say when they came to him in the Mount of Olives? His disciple approached him and said, Lord, what will be the sign of the end of your coming, of your return? What will be the sign? He says, be ye not deceived. The same devil that was in Laban is in the world today in our government. The Antichrist. And the Antichrist, Obama, Pelosi, Biden, and all of them, Kamala Harris, all these people, okay? And they're looking to pass mandatory vaccination on our children and on the people, my brother and sister, on us, okay? Fauci said this week that those that are refusing to be vaccinated are coming against the science community, he says, okay? So they're deeming Christians unhuman or against society, against science. And the scientific community is so big worldwide that now they'll be joining and taking it to the Supreme Court to pass law to make the vaccination mandatory, where they say, well, these Christians are not going to get away by not being vaccinated. No, we're going to make them. My brother and sister. That's why you cannot trust none of these people. Because here's the thing. In your father had deceived me, said Jacob. They will deceive you. Okay? Are they planning to change people's wages and those that are not vaccinated? And change my wages 10 times. That number 10 is human number, earthly number. Okay? So 10 times, they will do it after 10 times against us. They'll change your wages. They'll attack everyone financially who are not being vaccinated. That's what that means. Okay? But here's one thing that God's not going to allow. But God did not suffer him to hurt me. They'll attack you financially. They want to vaccinate you, but God would not let them hurt you. He put it because his son was hurt on the cross, broken for us, for our sin. Now, you don't need to be broken if you're repenting. They can't hurt you because they already hurt the Lord on the cross. And he said, fear not because I overcame the world. Did he not say that? Fear not because I overcame the world. He was broken. And some of you who the devil wants to put that lie, like, oh, watch what's going to happen to you, needs to be reminded what happened to Jesus for us. If you are repenting, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. We all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. It was laid on Jesus. He overcame the world. He overcame it. So the world cannot overcome you and I. Stay repenting with the Lord. Thank you for that video. Someone sent me a video where people, the barcode software scanners, the people use on the phone, they're scanning people who's been vaccinated, and it's coming up with a number quickly. People have become a number. Those that are being vaccinated. It's sad. But God told them not to take the vaccine. He did told them so. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, if he did thus, says Jacob, the sparkle should be the wages, then all the animals would sparkle. In other words, God, every time Laban changed his mind on what animals Jacob would have for Jacob, not for Jacob, my brother and sister, for Jacob's income or blessing of prosperity not to increase, Laban kept changing his mind, the wages, cheating him is the word. He kept cheating Jacob. And that's what these elite wants to do with us. They want to cheat us. And undermine that a lot of people don't know how much they have stolen, the trillion they have stolen from the stock market and so much more. All the money they use on taxpayer for excuses for other things to use it unto themselves and put it in fake bank accounts up there. My brother and sister. And they don't know that. None of us are complaining. None of us are complaining. I said, where's my money? They have stolen from us all these years. None of us are saying, where's our money? We just have gone on, but God has taken care of us. Although they don't know this evil, my brother and sister. Does God have taken away the flocks of your father and given them to me? The wealth of the rich will be given to his servant in the last day, God says. Okay? The wealth of the world, the wealth of day will be given to his people. My brothers and sisters, God has provided to us. God has taken care of us. Even when they plan to steal from us, they keep changing our wages. But God, besides not looking at what they were doing, God looks at everything. God knows everything. But God took care of us. He took care of us. He did not let us go hungry. And it came to pass at the time that the animal conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the ram which leaned upon the animal was ring-strake, sparkle, and girdle. My brother and sister. And the angel of God spoke unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift now thy eyes and see the outer ram which leap upon the animal, ring-strake, sparkle, and girdle. For I have seen all the Laban does unto thee. You see, God sees everything. God knows everything. No one can hide from him. My brother and sister, there's not a question. The Lord talking to me and showing me all these things. There's not a question of him taking his children home. There's not a question of a thing. Those that are ready, the trumpet sound, they disappear. And people wonder what they be. Okay, that's not questionable. That those that are repenting and seeking the Lord will disappear. The Lord will take his people home. The rest stays home. Almost 7 billion people stay on the earth like nothing. Everybody keep going to work. Under the sign, these people disappear. Some people make a big deal about it. Where do they go? Okay. But then other people, forget about it. Just go to work. The government will explain it. Okay? And under the sign, the great tribulation began. These demons get released. Now there begins tremendous fear upon the earth like they never seen before. My brother and sister, The fact of the matter is this, 2 Peter 3:7, by God's word, the present heaven and earth are designated to be burned. And there are being kept unto this day ungodly people that will be judged and destroyed. 2 Peter 3:7, out of God's word. It's been designated this way. It's been decided this way by God. Okay? This is not going to change. His decision has been made. 2 Peter 3:7, and the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and the day when the heaven will pass away with roaring sound. Everything that makes up the universe will be burned and be destroyed. The earth and everything that people have done on it will be exposed. Can they escape? No. If they're not repenting, there's, my brother and sister, no way out for this humanity. 10 times he cheated Jacob until God said enough is enough. How long was he going to do this? Forever, if God didn't intervene. But here's the thing. God will intervene. This earth's not going to continue this way. That's what the Lord was talking to me about this morning. We've been seeing it. We saw the changes from 2019 to 2021. We've seen the change, the Lord was telling me. It's not going to go back as what they call normal, as it was before 2019. The Lord says to me, but change is coming. He take his bride out, take his children out. The great tribulation begin. Nothing after that is normal. No more going back to work for 8 hours like it used to. Okay? Company going to be destroyed. Water supply will be contaminated. It's already starting. Shadow of the great tribulation. I was watching a report on RT America about Chicago and some other state finding contaminant underwater. Shadow of the Great Tribulation. Because all water will be contaminated, my brother and sister, during the Great Tribulation, everywhere on the earth. Not just one nation, not just one state. Everywhere on the earth. Okay? But God will deliver Jacob out of his trouble, maybe not in Israel. Okay? God will supply to them. But everyone on the earth, I've been in the Great Tribulation, 5 years into, 7 years into, 3 years into, 2 years into the Great Tribulation. I've seen how it is. No drinkable water. Cannot go to the supermarket and purchase water. Supermarkets are empty. They've been raided by people looking for food. Buildings are just empty, full of nothing. Some building will be burned down. The Great Tribulation is a mess worldwide. Okay? Unless the Lord wants to take you somewhere and wants you to be somewhere where he will protect you with his angel, then you will be protected. But the rest is a mess down here. My brother and sister, I remember taking 5 years into the Great Tribulation. I saw this woman like hiding. It was still daylight. And I said to her, woman, what's happening? She looked to me. I said, sister, because she looked to me like she was a Christian that stayed behind. And she said, what do you mean what's happening? Where do you come from? Or where you're from? That you don't know what's going on. And she said, these demons, when they come out, they hurt anyone. They beat on up on anyone. They destroy everything. Where do you come from? We've been hiding most of the time. We may try to go out and get something to eat, but that's it. And they look starving, hungry, dirty, no more shower every day. My brother and sister, it's just horrible. Life is horrible. And that's what the Lord showed me, the changes are coming. It's not going to be normal like they say it was. No more going that way. From here and on, Jesus was speaking to me. The only thing, the bride goes home and the great tribulation begins. That's it. They're looking forward for things to go back to normal. No. I didn't know this until he spoke it to me. My brother and sister, this is incredible. Incredible, the things that are coming, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. God wants to deliver us out of our trouble. He wants to deliver us as he delivered Jacob out of his trouble. The Great Tribulation is 7 years of trouble for Jacob, but not just for Jacob. Jacob is being identified under the situation, but the whole world finds itself, hallelujah, in the same situation like Jacob. Hallelujah, wondering what they're going to eat. Hallelujah. But God, Jesus Christ, who has all power in heaven and on earth, is the same. He has not changed. He will not change. So why don't people call upon him? My brother and sister, hallelujah, because they have not learned to trust him. Praise the Lord. It's a matter of you seeking the Lord and repenting and learning to trust the Lord in relationship. If you have not learned to do that now, before the Great Tribulation, how are you think you're going to do it, like in 5 minutes? Like people say, let's do this in 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 30. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, speak. Hallelujah. Saying, speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write all these words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will bring back from the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. And this already has happened in Israel. Saith the Lord, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their father, and they shall possess it. That's been happening since 1942. These are the words of the Lord concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard voice of trembling, of fear, and no peace. Hallelujah. Paul said that it will be like a woman in labor, that when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction come upon them as a woman in travail, woman in labor. That child must be born. As you know and see whether a man does travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hand in his loin and a woman in travail and all the faces are turning paleness? I have an idea what will make them be like this. Nuclear weapon. You know that red button that government have refused to press? Well, they dropped some over Japan or Hiroshima. But since then, government have refused to press a red button. When these demons get released, they go out immediately. They know where those red buttons are hitting, and they go press it. The earth open in certain parts of certain country, and these large missiles go up in the air against these other nations. They got nuclear weapon inside, and that not only will bring a lot of pain to a lot of people and bring a lot of destruction, but it'll contaminate the air, and it will contaminate the water. A few comes here from Russia. A few from here goes to Russia, and these things goes all over the world, and this contamination goes for miles and miles and miles and miles, and water everywhere is contaminated. Okay? No more drinkable water. And these demons will be laughing at people, seeing people suffering, breathing into their lungs, all these contaminants out of the air. And when they dare to drink the water, they are in pain, and the demons are enjoying it. My brother and sister, it's terrible. Why do they hate men and women so much? Because in the image of him, in the image of God, God created them. They get the blessing of God to repent, not the fallen ones. They don't have that blessing. That blessing is given to men. Hallelujah. Alas, for the day is great, so none is like it, even to the time of Jacob's trouble. But he should be saved out of it. The promise of God to Jacob is, Jacob is going to be saved. The Bible says that all Israel will be saved. My brother and sister, that's going to be an amazing miracle, because all Israel is saved in one day. It's just saved. Everybody's saved. Everybody's confessing the Lord. Hallelujah, for the glory of God. Everybody said that Yeshua HaMashiach, he's Messiah, that Jesus is Messiah, Jesus is Messiah. And from the corner of Israel, from one side to another, they're all saying, the robbers are saying, Mashiach is Messiah. Jesus is Messiah. Yeshua is Mashiach. Yeshua is Mashiach. They're all confessing that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior. And, you know, it hurts them that they killed him 2,000 years ago plus, but he is their Messiah. That the Torah now makes sense. That the five book of Moses, the Tanakh, makes so much sense now. Mashiach is Messiah. They're celebrating him. The entire nation of Israel becomes safe. All the rabbis, all the Orthodox rabbis are dancing, okay, celebrating that Mashiach is Messiah. A day is coming, my brothers and sisters, for Israel. All Israel will be saved. I said, say, hallelujah, that all Israel will be saved. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break the yoke from off thy neck, and I will burn thy bonds, and strangers shall no more, hallelujah, no more be served by him. Praise the Lord. No more. No more. When God says no more, no more. It's been this way for a while, but no more, God says. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has a plan. And it's to renew the earth again. To start a millennium. So in those 7 years, everything crooked will be made straight. He's going to punish the disobedient earth. The rod. It's made, Proverbs says, the rod is made for the back of the wicked. Okay, for the back of the disobedient. That's what the rod is made for. So this nation, almost 7 billion people, has been so disobedient. Messiah has been preached to them. They have rejected him. They have not believed in his return back to the earth. And now God punished them as his son was punished on the cross. They didn't receive what Jesus did on the cross. Now they need to suffer. He was crushed for iniquity. They need to be crushed now. They need to be broken for the sin iniquity. The penalty for sin is death. That's why they need to be beheaded. My brother and sister. The penalty, Jesus took it on the cross. They refused the cross. Now they still need to be beheaded. But the demons are now. They were not born yesterday. They were born in that day, but not yesterday. They know that if humans are beheaded, oh, they go into the rest, no more pain. And the demons, they look to it. People are going to say to the demon, just behead us, just behead us. Come on, come on, no more, don't torment us anymore. Just cut our neck. Come on, behead us. And the demon say, demon going to look at him and say, you think I'm stupid? You don't think what that book says? That if you behead, you'll be safe? No, 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 no. I'm not going to make it easy for you. People will be like, what? People will be laughing. Oh, yeah, it will be easy. I'll behead you. And you go into your resting and you're not going to make it easy for you. You see how difficult it's going to be? They know the book, too. They know the book. My brother and sister, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for people. But they should serve the Lord, the God, and David, the king, whom I raised unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my saving Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, for lo, I will save thee from far. Thy seed from the land of the captivity, Jacob will return, and shall be unrest and be in quiet, and none shall make him afraid. What's making him afraid now? Or what's going to make him afraid during the 7 year great tribulation? The Nephtalim, when they lose, they will. Mm-hmm. For I will be with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make thee a fool of indignation. That's a lot of pain. I make you a vassal of pain. You'll be in pain, Jacob, for 7 years. God says, whether I have scattered thee, you, I will not make a fool and end of thee, but I will correct thee and measure. What does that mean? That for 7 years, discipline for father is coming upon this earth. The pain and sorrow that people are going to go through is the discipline of the Lord upon their lives. My brother and sister, discipline, discipline. That's what the army does to make good soldiers. Discipline. Continue discipline every day. waking them up before 5 o'clock in the morning. Discipline. I saw people that did not sleep in the Great Tribulation. No more sleeping. The demons are not going to let people sleep 8 hours, not even 1 hour, maybe 10 minutes. No more sleeping. God is calling people to come into prayer and forget about sleeping for several hours. Oh, no, I'm too tired. I got to sleep. Okay. They don't want to repent. They don't want to have time to seek the Lord and get ready to be going home. Those that are not even doing anything, not even 1 hour, Peter, John, can you not even pray 1 hour with me? Jesus said in Gethsemane. 1 hour. 1 hour. Someone calculated a 24-hour, 1 hour is a tithe. It's a 10%. He's asking you for your tithe, your 10%. A 1 hour prayer every day. Do you give God, when you go on your knees, when you go into prayer with him, do you give him 10% of prayer? 1 hour. 1 hour. Do you give him one hour at least? If not, you owe him a lot of hours of prayer. If you're not even praying 1 hour a day, you owe God your 10%, a lot of hours of prayer. You owe him. Get into prayer and give him back what is of him. When men steal from God, the prophet Malachi said, if you're not doing 1 hour every day, you're stealing from him. Give him his 1 hour. Peter, John, can you not even pray 1 hour with me? He rebuked them. And they were so tired, they were falling asleep. But he rebuked them. Can you not pray with me 1 hour, Peter and John? Huh? But Lord, you know, we're working all day long, walking with you, preaching the gospel. And we're so tired, we're falling asleep, falling. That means you're so tired, you cannot even keep your eyes open. But he still rebuked them. But they should pray 1 hour with him. That means God demands that 1 hour from each and one of us every day. He didn't say 3. He didn't say 8. He said 1 hour, 60 minutes. My brother and sister, think about that 1 hour. I will correct thee and measure. I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. God cannot do that. Because his correction to humanity is because he loves humanity. So God so loved the world. He can still save people out of where they are. My brother and sister. Look, there will be a vaccine that will destroy the effect of the COVID vaccine. But how many people will want to be so obedient to take the vaccine? To erase the effect of the COVID-19 vaccine. How many people will say, you know, I took the vaccine by mistake. I let them convince it was my work. You know, I'm going to go take this other vaccine that is available. Or how many people are willing to pay for that next vaccine? You see, correction is what's going to get them there to be decisive. Young men comes into the army, young woman, they're undecisive. But once they sign those documents, they tell them, now you belong to us. Your training begins tomorrow morning. Be ready. Okay? In that training, what it does in those months is remove all undecisiveness out of their life and make them make the decision. My brother and sister, are you going to be willing to die for the Lord in the Great Tribulation to be beheaded? Are you going to say yes? Or you're still undecisive? No. You have to say yes no matter what and make your neck available to be beheaded. Every day, we're like sheep to the slaughter, the Bible says. You have to make your neck available every day during the 7 years. Those that are staying behind need to make their neck available to be beheaded at any moment. In any moment, one of the angels with the sword, they say, you know what, I'm tired of you. Boom, and cut your neck. You'll enter into your rest. But until they decide to do that, for 7 years, you got to make your neck available like sheep to the slaughter. Because you didn't really see what Jesus did on the cross. He was slaughtered for us. And if we are repenting, we receive his sacrifice. We don't need to be sacrificed now. But those that are rejecting now, they need to be sacrificed because they rejected his sacrifice. My Lord, my God. have mercy. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Genesis 31 and 13. I am the God of that, though, where thou hast anointed a pillar, where thou vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Jacob, in his distress, in his way to conquer, to have something for himself, for his name, said, you know what, I'm going to make God this promise. It took oil and anointed the rock, my brother and sister, the pillar. I'm going to anoint this, you know, if God does this, and I go, and God brings me in peace, and God fulfills his promise to me, and, you know, it was something simple to him, like a lot of Christians have done it. But in God's books, you made that vow. In his books, you said those words. You prayed those words to him in his books. He's holding you on to, because he's going to fulfill his part. But he's waiting you now to fulfill your part. Okay? Would thou bow unto me, God says to Jacob. You bow. You made a promise. You swear, Jacob. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Okay? God fulfilled his part to bless him, to keep him, even though Laban was always against him and his sons. Now, go back to your land, Jacob. Praise the Lord. Jacob could have said, no, I'm doing great business here. My business is thriving over here. What do you mean I got to go? You got to listen. The Lord knows. He knows everything. The Lord took me a few days ago and had two redeemed speak to me and said to me, did not the Lord tell you the beginning of the year to move? Why did you wait? He knows everything. And they spoke to me with such an authority of word. My brother and sister, when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it because he knows everything. That is so true. That is so true. What could I do? It is true. We need to be rebuked, my brother and sister, when we make a mistake. And Rachel and Leah answered, sent unto him, is there yet any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not come by him stranger, for he has sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money? They worry about the inheritance. That didn't really matter anymore. For all the riches we got had taken from our father, that is ours and our children now, then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. So they will be a wise wife and say, you know what? He told her husband to move. So, okay, no problem. We'll do it. We'll go with him. And they've all hearkened and said, okay, let's do this. Then Jacob rose and set his son and his wife upon camel, and he carried away all the flock and all the goods which he had gotten in the flock. His getting he had gotten in Padan Aram, to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Canaan was always the land God pointed them to, because the city of Jerusalem is the city of a great king. When you and I come down to the earth, the new earth, we're going to go to Canaan. We're going to go to Jerusalem, my brother and sister, and we're going to see the Lord every morning. And he's going to give us a task for the days. I said, the Lord, you know, the Bible said, was written in the right book. No, it was written in the scroll. Jesus in the millennium gave me a scroll when I came to Jerusalem to see him. He has seraphim angel around him. Okay, and sheriff. I seen him with sheriff around him. And he handed me over a scroll for my task for the day. And part of that, what was in that scroll when I opened it and I read it, was to go to this place and share his gospel. I'm going to be preaching also in the millennium. I already mentioned this on the Lord's Hour. Okay? It's just incredible. The things that he has for us. But we must be faithful to him. That's why we can never miss of him telling us, go do this, and you're like, no, let me see, and take your time and your path, and you don't do it. That is disobedient in his book. He doesn't want disobedience. He wants obedience. And obedient he might get. Say this to me. You must get obedient from God, from his bride. Bride must be obedient. See? It's important to the Lord. What he wants is what he gets. Lay women into the shear of his sheep, and Rachel has stolen the image that were in her father. That brought trouble now to Jacob, who was Rachel then. My brother and sister. And it also cost her life. A lot of people don't know that. That Rachel stealing the idol from the father cost her life, because Jacob swear later on that whoever taking her his idol would die. And didn't know it was Rachel. And she ended up dying, my brother and sister, because he had spoken the word. For thou sayest the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. Imagine this, people in the great tribulation walking around with an incurable bruise. My brother and sister. But I saw a man in the great tribulation, and I wish Brother Benjamin was here. I saw a man in the great tribulation. His hand has been cut, and he only had about a piece of flesh hanging on his shoulder from his hand, running in agony of pain. My brother and sister. So thus saith the Lord, that bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. Wounded. I saw people, military shooting at people that were running for their lives. And I saw the bullet going through their body, and they're still running. Why are they not falling? Why are they not dead? Because they will seek to die, but death will elude them. So they have to run wounded. These military bullets, you know how they can go through wall, steel, wood easily, going through the body, flesh, bone, easily. And imagine that you got 2-3 bullets hit you, and you're in great pain, okay? And you're running for your life. You're still not dead, because here's the thing. What did God say? You need to be beheaded. They're not beheading you. They're only bullet wounds. Fresh bullet wounds. And they're running in pain for their lives. But they can't escape. They can't escape. It is the worst time. Jacob trapped 7 years great tribulation. It's the worst time. Did God want people to end there? No. He doesn't want people to end there. This is why he's telling his people, before it begins, to be in daily repentance, to worry more about their relationship with him than anything you ever know. Because people will wake up trying to go to work next day when the great tribulation begins, and they find out that what job, what company, power outages is everywhere. Government will not run the power. The company that are running the power is the end for them. No coal that they can go and dig out anymore. Demon's not going to let them. Okay, the Nephtalim are ruining people's life for these 7 years. They're bad. They're evil. They're going to be released, and humanity will be punished for them. People are mostly running for their lives, scared. And this is all over the world, in every corner. My brother and sister of the earth. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up, that thou hast no healing medicine, God says. Yeah, there's no clinic, there's no hospital running. Everything is chaos and mess, my brother and sister, for 7 years. Is that something people want to look for? If they knew and understand how bad it's going to be, they have no idea. 7 billion people about to go into that. The Lord was speaking to me this morning and showing me humanity. The entire state of New Jersey where I was practically filled with rats of departure. The entire state going into the Great Tribulation. 12 million people in New York City. My brother and sister, just going into the Great Tribulation, smoking, drinking, smiling, gay parties, lesbian parties, you know, and this and that, and hating, and so much more. Laughing into their life into the Great Tribulation. My brother and sister. And when all Nephthalians are released, party is over. My brother, the discipline began for repenting, and some are going to come out of that repenting, yes, daily. I saw people praying nonstop. The Great Tribulation, their mouth was just going on, running, but praying, running, but praying, praying, praying. The Apostle Peter said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, I've got to call on Jesus. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has given him all authority in heaven and earth. He's going to be available. But this time, it's not like you've been in the past. I go to church for a few years, a few months. I don't like it anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm going to go do my own thing. People have been doing backsliding. Look, one Christian. Oh, not anymore. There's not going to be no backsliding in the Great Tribulation. Oh, no. Whoever makes up their mind for Christ will make up their mind for Christ. Whoever is not going to is not going to. But there's no time to backslide in the Great Tribulation. No more. No more time for you to say, oh, I'm not praying anymore. I ain't not doing this. I'm too tired to pray. Namala. You will only have time to repent, cry out to God, and run. They're coming. Run. They're coming. And every night you don't get to sleep. Right now, oh, I don't want to pray. I'm too tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. Not in the Great Tribulation that is about to begin. You got to pray because they're not going to let you sleep. And if they catch you in your sleep, I seen the Nephthalim grabbing people on their bed by the leg, dragging them out of the room. And the person trying to get up, they can because the Nephthalim have more power than 10 men in one hand. And they're dragging, I saw that they were dragging this guy. He thought he was going to go get a good night's sleep. No. And the demon went and grabbed him by the leg, and they were dragging him all over the road. And the other demon was coming for the other rest of the people. But those that knew that were not supposed to be sleeping, they knew how to hide and run. They learn, and they pray. Okay? Have you noticed that when you're praying, and you do something, you get the wisdom to do it right or do it correct. Sometimes I'm struggling with my computer. But if I'm praying and I'm going to do something that I need to do on the computer, I do it right. God reminded me how to do it. Because I forget. Or I don't know how to do something, and then all of a sudden he just gives me the knowledge and I'll do it and do it right. Praying is powerful. So I understand people in the Great Tribulation praying 24 hours that God gives them an idea on where to run, where to hide, where they'll be secure from the demon, and they'll be on and off running. Okay? Through prayer only. I see people mouth just moving, praying, and tired, like they wanted to stop, but no. They knew that praying was the best way on how to know where to escape, know where to go. If people can understand this now, my brother and sister, Paul said, pray without ceasing. How did he learn this? He applied it to his own life. He was running because they were chasing him to kill him. And he says, I cease not to pray, he wrote to the churches. How did he learn to just always be praying, knowing where to go? Because in prayer, he knew God was giving him the strategy where to go. Prayer is so powerful. A lot of Christians have not gotten it yet. Have not found the secret power and knowledge in prayer. Excuse me, that God can give you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why he said pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Just pray. Just pray. Jeremiah 23:24. No one can hide so that I can see him, declare the Lord. I fill heaven and earth, declare the Lord. Jeremiah 51:48. The heaven and earth and everything in them will rejoice over Babylon because the destroyer from the north will attack it, declare the Lord. In the north is where Atlantica is. The destroyer will be released from the north over Babylon, this earth, this evil of Babylon. The destroyer from the north, the Bible even tells you where they are. And when they come, okay, the destroyer from the north will attack it. Exactly what I've been telling you. These demons are being released from under Atlanticam. They're coming to attack the earth, my brother and sister. It'll be terrible. Terrible time. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:18, I can guarantee this truth. Until the earth and the heaven disappear, neither a pier nor a comma will disappear. The scripture from everything has come true. Yes. Back in Genesis 34:30, Jacob said, then Jacob said unto Simeon and Levi, you have caused me a lot of trouble. You made the people living in the area, the Canaanite, the Pharisee that hate me. These are but a few of us in their joining force against me to attack me, my family, and I will be wiped out. Isn't that what David prayed in Psalm 83? My brother and sister, they're planning to erase Jacob Israel from the map as a nation. Jacob said that his son had caused this, okay, and that the Canaanite, which are now there, and the Perizzite, my brothers, these nations that are surrounding Israel, that hate him, there are only but a few of us, Israel being the smaller nation, we know that today, if they join forces against me to attack me, my family, I will be wiped out, Jacob said. Isn't that what Iran and these nations are planning now? The same. They're planning to wipe out Israel from the map, my brother and sister. But God said to the prophet Jeremiah that God will help him. He's going to help them. I saw Messiah fighting beside them. But destruction will come to them, my brother and sister. That's a fact. That is a fact. Hallelujah. Number 22:21. He doesn't want any trouble for the descendant of Jacob. He sees no misfortune for the people of Israel. The Lord their God is with them. Praise is their king. Hallelujah. The misfortune that's going to happen to Jacob, God is going to deliver them out of it, says the prophet. Thank you, Lord. David said in Psalm 21:1, the Lord will answer you in time of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob will protect you. Amen to that. Hallelujah. So this also applies to the nation who will cry out to God. The Lord, hallelujah, will answer you. So those people that will be praying while they're running from these demons, the Lord will answer the prayer. Okay? And the Lord also will protect them, because I saw the Lord sending angels to protect them from the demon. My brother and sister. So God can do so much for people that are staying behind who will cry out to him. The point of the matter is, will they cry? How many of them will cry, my brother and sister? Because the Lord is going to leave people behind. A lot have planned with people that are staying behind to preach to those people to be in repentance. I hope they listen. Very important that they listen to what they have to say, my brother and sister. Because the trouble of Jacob has already been declared, and it's coming. It's coming over Jacob, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. I hope that they listen, they'll repent, and understand, hallelujah, the difficult time that will be upon this earth. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee now, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. Who is thy lover? United States and other nations. Love Israel. But they will forget them. Why? Because they find themselves in a situation that they cannot help them to. So that's why they will forgive them too. I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. My brother and sister, when the Antichrist is in the third temple, ask God, they're going to be wounded because they want Messiah. They get the Antichrist, show him money. My brother and sister. And when he said that he's God to them, they go, wow, rabbis are going to rip their garments like they used to do. And say, this is an abomination. How can he say he's God? And the temple of God, he'll say that's God, the Bible says. Hallelujah. And then Jesus said in Matthew 24, for them to get out of there and run. And then he says in Daniel, the three cities that they can run to, that they will be safe. My brother and sister, three cities, small city, that they will be safe there from the Antichrist. And there are Christians there that come up from the United States, Mexico, and other part of the world, Argentina, Chile. There have come people from all over the world to go to this city because they read it in their Bible. They pray to the Lord, and the Lord told them that in the Great Tribulation, this city will be secure. So they already have gone there and purchased land, have built places for refuge there, and they're refuging themselves there now. I remember a few years when I was talking about this on the Lord's Hour, and one of my Daniel Bible study, one of them contacted me and said, how do you know this? Because we know this because the Lord told us. But how did you know this? I said, it's in the Word of God. I read it out of His Word, and I believe His Word. This guy is incredible. Because when the Lord told them to go there, they moved and went there, and they're already living there. But when they hear me on the Internet talking about this, they're surprised. Because no one else is saying this, practically. Hear me talking about this here on the Lord's side. I said, how did you know this? This is incredible. First time here, someone talking about it. We know this, but hearing someone talking about this, you know, and of course people expect me to move and go over there. No, I don't think the Lord wants me to go there yet. Our plan is different. But yes, there are people already moved there from the United States and around the world in that secure place. There will be angels there protecting them supernaturally during the Great Tribulation. So that will be the only secure place on the earth. Three small places mentioned in the book of Daniel, secure for these people, okay? And right now when Israel, he's so incredible, Israel, as they want people to be vaccinated, those people under the law that they have approved under in Israel for them cannot be touched in that regard. That cannot be made mandatory for them, okay? So even rabbis understand what's over there, the situation, why those people will be there. Okay? But I also know that they're closing the door for a lot of other nations to come to Israel, to come and live in those places. They're not granting passports. They're not granting green card. People, they're not applying for them, and they're not getting them anymore. So that's going to also make it difficult for people. Years ago, there were a lot of people that were able to enter, apply for the green card. They got it. A lot of people, they're not getting them anymore, you know. A way is to get a temporary visa and then apply for your green card once you're over there. I believe that's the best way to do it. Why cry thou for thy affliction? Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. They're crying. The cry goes on and on. My brother and sister in the Great Tribulation, cry, cry, cry. Why cry thou for thy affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. Imagine that. Well, if you got people running around with no leg, I mean with no arms, and I saw like in when one of the Nephilim got released with his sword, I saw her cutting these college students' leg and arm, one leg and one arm, and they were dragging themselves on the floor. In pain. It hurts, he was saying. And the other guy was saying. So some of these football players, right? I saw one time try to fight one of the locusts by him. He was about over 300 pounds. Strong young man. About 19. And the locust was about 7 or 8 feet. But skinny. And he could take on the locust. And the locust grabbed him by the shoulder. And dig the nail on his shoulder. He was screaming, let me go in pain. My brother and sister, the only thing they fear, these locusts, is the power of God. Hallelujah. terrible because people think that they can just, oh, well, rebuke the Antichrist. You'll do what? You have no idea how terrible it's going to be. It's a total different life. This is why the Lord now, when he wants people to repent, seek him now. While there's still this time. My brothers, seek the Lord while he can be found, says the prophet Isaiah. Seek him while he can be found. Now he can be found. The great tribulation began. Man, it's difficult. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord, many will say. Have he forsaken us? Have he abandoned us? When Jesus, before he died on the cross, what did he say? Before he died, Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me? His flesh was being crushed. Okay? He didn't want nobody to experience this. He was experiencing for humanity. When no human to experience the flesh being crushed to death. Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me? Since they reject the sacrifice, now they're going to feel the same in the Great Tribulation. They're going to feel crushed, forsaken, and pain like they cannot even imagine. My brother and sister. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. Amen. All thine adversary and every other should go into captivity. And they that despoil thee shall be despoiled. And all the prey upon thee will give for a prey. And that's exactly what Messiah will do to them in the end of the Great Tribulation. He will punish all the Nephtali and bind them again for 1,000 years. And then bring them before the great white throne judgment. And the apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, don't you know that you will judge angels? The same that were released in the Great Tribulation was 7 years. Now the church that went before them in the rapture of the departure is in the throne with Jesus judging these angels, these fallen ones. My brothers and sisters, they'll be like, what? Why are these human with the Lord? No. You know, he said that you will be in the throne of Jesus, the judgment throne of Jesus. They'll be judged. And Paul said, don't you know that you will judge angels? They sat with the Lord, the bride, beautiful bride. Okay? After she's all rewarded by Jesus. And that crown of glory is given. Great power. And the angel will see her. Whoa! The Nephilim, the honorable judge is coming and stand. Praise him. He'll come in with his bride. In the beginning of the white throne judgment, the bride and the Lord judging these angels. Why do you do this to this person in the Great Tribulation? Why do you cut this person's arm? Don't you know, one of the bride may say, you know that guy you cut his arm was my uncle on the earth? But you are guilty of such charge. And when the judgment is determined, all right, you'll be dropped in the lake of fire. And the angel will grab them. No, no, no. Throw them. And they throw them alive into the lake of fire. Nothing they can do. Nothing they can do. For all eternity, my brother and sister. This is why everything that's going on for now is bad for a moment, the Bible says. Because they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire once all that is finished. My brother and sister, the bride goes into eternity. One thing the Lord showed me this, I think once or twice. When eternity begins, he showed me, there was a great celebration going on. I saw the bride with crowns going into eternity. And I saw brothers and sisters beginning to celebrate, and they were all going in, clapping hand and celebrating with crown on their head, crown of glory, my brothers and sisters. They were celebrating. It was such a powerful, beautiful event. And When the Lord showed me this, I remember remembering this in eternity. I saw only but a few of people. And I was thinking, man, I don't want to talk about eternity because I only owe but a few of the bride going in to celebrate. And then the Lord took me one more time to show me. And he has taken me maybe three or four times more. I don't know, four times to eternity. But this time when he showed me eternity, I saw a group. And then I saw a multitude going into eternity of his bride, of people that I even knew. Whoa! It was like, praise be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Because I seen the plan of Jesus. Nobody knows. It's a mystery what God is doing. My brother and sister, we each believers. We don't know where everyone is with him walking. And then when he unfolds it and shows it to me, I was like, whoa, great multitude started coming in eternally. We're crowned. He had crowned my brother and sister on their head to worship him, to celebrate. And everyone was coming on his mind. Some people turned and looked at me. Said, Elvie, you're coming. Yes. And I went in with him to celebrate. My brother and sister did. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. It was a beautiful celebration. It was, hallelujah. Eternity is where everything is revealed. Who you are in him. And eternity, everyone can see who you are. There, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Your mansion, your castle will be given to you there. Eternity is endless, huge. My brother and sister, huge. Praise the Lord. And beautiful. I tell you people that one time I was taken to the throne of Father. And I saw the Lord and the Holy Spirit, the two persons I saw. Father was there in his throne. And I saw Jesus and the Holy Spirit making castle in eternity from the throne of Father. And I'm standing there on this occasion when the Lord took me there. And the Lord and the Holy Spirit said to Father, when they have made like a castle, is that where it should be? And Father says, no. And they're looking at Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. And Father went and put it where it should be. My brothers and sisters. And it was perfect. Perfect. They knew it was perfect. He knows the day and the hour. The Lord doesn't know, but Father knows. And it's perfect. Whenever Father does, it's perfect. Actually, he wants us, Jesus told his disciple, us, be you, perfect, like your Father who is in heaven. He says to Abraham, be thou perfect before me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Abraham was called to be imperfect before God. The bride of Christ is being called to be perfect before him. Thank you, Jesus. What do you mean perfect? Does that mean that we're not going to make a mistake, Brother Ellie? Well, let's see. God is perfect. How does God act with everyone? He loves everyone. He forgives everyone when they repent. And he gives his son, the water, food, everything to everyone. God doesn't make a section of people. God doesn't say, well, I don't like this color people or that other color people. No, he loves everyone the same. He doesn't judge people by color. He loves everyone. He's perfect. And he wants us to be the same. My brother and sister, if you are racist, you're not perfect yet. God wants you to be perfect like him. God is not racist. God doesn't discriminate anyone. He called me his son. My son, he says. When he talks to you, he says, my daughter. And you will feel so loved by him. You will be so loved by him. When you say, I want to go to Father's throne, man, you may say, well, you have to be invited. I want to be invited. But God will let you know. Then you'll receive your invitation. And then you come to his throne. You say, Father. You say, yes, my daughter. Father, yes, my son. And you will be so loved by him. No matter what your color is, no matter what your language is, you will be loved by him. Every second in all eternity, you'll be loved. Praise you, Jesus. He is the Father of all. Jesus said not to call anyone Father on the earth, but you have one Father that is in heaven. He is our Father. Oh, I love him so much. I miss him so much. Oh, I miss Father so much. His wisdom is unfounded, my brothers and sisters. I remember being troubled for many years. And Father knew. And he took me to heaven and told me things he wanted me to say and show me things. Praise you, Lord. I was judging myself. Whether being so careful to speak and say his word, because I didn't want to end up in hell. Hallelujah. And Father said one thing to me that gave me such a peace and then. Hallelujah. That there is no judgment to them that being led by the Spirit, he said. Oh, man, that gave me such a peace. He knew I needed that word, my brother and sister. Because I kept judging myself, and it was something. My brother, this is what Father says: there is no condemnation to them that walk in the Spirit. This is what the Word says: there's no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He says that if I walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. I was condemning myself. I have this condemnation on me. Because when the Lord gave me a message, I would keep thinking word by word what he said. I didn't want to add or nothing because I'm like, I don't want to be condemned. And it's fine for you to say, okay, I got to say what the Lord has to say. But I have my limitation. We all have a limitation. The Lord doesn't have that. My brother and sister, actually, Jesus at one time says to me back in 2012, the end of 2012, I had so many questions for the Lord. He came to me and told me to start this ministry. And I went in obedience and did it. He said, I'll provide. He provided. The end of 2012, man, I had so much question, my brother and sister. And Jesus, I remember that morning, came to me, took me in the Spirit. I was right standing in front of him. And I said, Lord, I have so much question. He looked at me and he says, I know. He says, go ahead and ask me, he says. I asked the Lord over 1,000 questions. Talking about asking too many questions. I asked the Lord over 1,000 questions, I know. I knew it. I asked the Lord over 1,000 questions. He's standing there hearing me, listening to me, to my question. Over 1,000 questions. Hallelujah. And he answered all my questions in less than 1 second. How did he do that? Because he's God. He can do that and more. I knew that when he answered my question, he answered them 100% to my fulfillment, to me to say, yes, that's true. My brother and sister, when you meet Jesus in heaven and you have thousands of questions, he's going to answer all your questions and you're going to walk away and say, he's right. It's all right. truthfully, he will fulfill, he will answer your question to your fulfillment, where you will have peace and joy. And the only thing you can say is you are worthy to be praised, oh Lord. Praise your God. My brother, the topic question you can answer him, he will answer you to your fulfillment. Like what you all say, yes, Lord, you are right. Because he knows everything. See, the difference with the Lord and man is guessing. The Lord is never guessing. He knows the answer to everything. He's God. He is God. So he's going to answer us our question. My brother and sister. Verse 17, I will restore and heal unto thee. Health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy womb, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. God has a plan to restore his people, has elected his chosen one. And he knows what the people are saying against us, his people. He knows what people are saying against us. Oh, you're crazy. You this, you fanatic, religious, and all nonsense are saying. But the plan of God, eternal plan, is perfect. I will restore health unto you. Those that are complaining are not having good health. The Lord can restore your health. I will heal thee in thy womb. Some people say, I'm so wounded for the Lord. Well, you're going to be restored. You're going to be healed, saith the Lord. That's part of his promise to us. This is something you can take before the Lord. You said in your word that you will heal. Oh, of course, yes, my daughter. Yes, my son. Here, receive. You fall back. Once you get up, you're completely healed. Nothing on ever will be wrong with you anymore. Ever. You'll never complain of being. On the contrary, in heaven, if you were in a wheelchair on earth most of all your life, and you go to heaven, when you get your two legs in heaven, you'll run faster than anybody, practically. It's a blessing to enter heaven, even missing a leg, missing an arm, missing an eye. It's better for you, Jesus. Then Jesus said that it's better for you to go into heaven missing an arm, an eye. Okay? Because the reward in heaven is much greater. And you'll be able to see better than if you enter heaven with an eye. Okay? You'll be able to see with your normal eyes in heaven. Yes. You'll have glorified body eyes. Yes. But if you were blind or were missing an eye, in heaven is much greater than what it will be if you went in heaven with an eye or with two eyes. Everything is rewarded in heaven. You see? Everything you get rewarded. Whatever you suffer for Jesus on this earth when you go to heaven, you are highly esteemed and highly rewarded. My brother and sister, for whatever you suffer for Jesus, the redeemed will say, you are so blessed. And we're like, why do you say I'm so blessed? Because you suffer for him. Such a great blessing, my brother and sister. So what if you enter heaven sick, you're going to have great health in heaven. Greater than someone who went in there with no sickness. You're going to have better health than they. And they'll say, you are so blessed. It's not that anybody is sick in heaven. It's that you get rewarded. You get rewarded for anything you suffer for the Lord. This is why we should never complain about anything in our life. But they don't teach us in church. Should never complain. Of course, you should always ask for your healing. Healing is for the children. Make sure you are a child of God. Because healing is for the children. Ask for your healing. Say, God, I'm your child. Heal me. You are the God that healeth thee. He's saying thy word and kill them all. Man, to the children of Israel, he sends his word and kill them all. But, you know, they suffered in Egypt. Our suffering may not even compare to them. based off of great suffering, beaten every day, whipped every day. We haven't gone through that, my brothers and sisters. But they went into the wilderness sick, and God sent his word and healed them all, because great suffering was on them before, for 430 years. How long have you suffered for? You see? The suffering was great. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. My brother and sister. So anything you suffer for, you will be rewarded. Mind you, give a prophet a glass of water, you'll be rewarded for everything. People say, oh, I don't have a ministry like you, brother. You go on the radio and you have a ministry. Excuse me, let me tell you something. Only if you pray for people that you don't even know. People across the world, Iran, China, Japan, don't matter who they are, Germany, don't matter who they are. If you pray for them to be safe, you're going to be rewarded when you go to heaven for praying for their soul to be saved. You think God's going to overlook that? No. That's one of the most powerful ministry, prayer, warriors. You pray. You say, oh, you know, I got children. I don't have time to go out and evangelize. I come home from work every day tired. You know, then when you go into prayer, pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your family to be saved. Pray for soul to be saved around the world. And mention the country. Say, Lord, please save the soul. Save them, Lord. And you do that every day. When you go to heaven, you'll be surprised at the reward you're going to receive. You're going to receive great reward, because the Lord can use your prayer and save those people. Reach out to them. And salvation is in the heart of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Salvation is in the heart of God. My brother and sister, what a lot of people don't do, you're doing it. It's a great ministry. Take it serious. Commit to it. Commit to prayer. Commit your life to prayer, to praying for people. Because you're going to receive, hallelujah, great reward in heaven from the Lord. Especially every time someone gets saved. You know? It's like the army giving you a medal of honor. You're going to receive a medal of honor in heaven. You'll be great rewarded in heaven for being there for other people, because not a lot of people are there for other people. You see? We see the earth how it is. But how many people are praying? Not many people are praying. So praying for other soul to be saved is so important. The Lord Jesus let me know this. So important that we take prayer serious, that we commit to prayer. Because he showed me, I use your prayer to go and minister to other people when you say for them to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important that you understand that every little things you do, small thing, are big thing in heaven. It may be little down here. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, Paul has great reward in heaven. What did he do when he was in prison? Do you think his ministry stopped? Because, Paul cannot preach anymore. He's in prison. Oh, you know what Paul did? He was praying for Timothy, the pastor, and all of them that were preaching the gospel while he was in prayer. Okay? Constantly praying for them, praying for them, praying for them, praying for them. You think his ministry will stop? No. His ministry became more powerful when they locked him up in jail, because then he took the time to pray. My brother and sister, his ministry became more powerful. You know, when he was, and he still prayed, going on camel, going on horses, mule, whatever, to travel to different places. Paul was always praying for them. And then these nations that wanted to lock him up so he wouldn't preach no more, thought that the gospel was going to be stopped there. No. Paul took the time to pray, more time for prayer he had. My brother says, so the ministry became more powerful in prison. Okay? Lord, open our eyes so we may see. Hallelujah. That's what we need, for our eyes to be open, because when you spend time praying for people, that's doing more than even a lot of people going out there. Because the Lord is the one who touches people to be saved. He's the one that convicts people to be saved. And so when you pray for them, I just heard the Lord say yes. When you pray for them, the Lord convicts the heart of sin and so much more. And they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember what my aunt said to me. I've been praying for you, Elvie, before I came to the Lord, served the Lord, for 19 years, she says. And I'm still praying for you, Brother Elvie. Okay? Thank you, Lord. My aunt said that to me on the phone. Okay? Prayer is so powerful. So, so powerful, my brother and sister. People ignore that power. Verse 18, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring back from captivity Jacob's tent, and have mercy on a dwelling place, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Amen. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Listen to this. This is one of the ministries the Lord revealed me in the millennium, my brother and sister, that I didn't know. At one time, he takes me into the millennium. And about when the people from the valley and the different places came to the millennium, out of the great tribulation, those that were beheaded went into the millennium. And I knew this in the millennium, that more than 30 billion people we're on the earth now, my brother and sister. Right now we have, what, almost 7 billion people? In the millennium, we have over 30 billion people on the earth. And that's practically to begin the millennium. Then those people, so you see God's heart for humanity, those people will begin to have children. Okay? And children, and children, and children for 1,000 years. That means there's going to be over 100 billion people on the earth by the end of the 1,000-year millennium, my brother and sister. Think about that. Over 100 billion people on the earth. Okay? I remember that. Whatever, you know how I know this is the United States. If I go to the island, if I go to another country, when I come here, I know it's the United States. So in the millennium, since there's no sea in between, the Bible says there will be no sea, I can come from other places to the land that I know is the United States. And I came, and all the earth, there's so many people. I remember at the end of the millennium, I was standing, walking around. There was people everywhere. You turn around in the millennium, and you see a multitude of people to your left. You walk a few feet, 100 feet. A mile. Not like here, you can walk a mile and not see hardly people. That's not the will of God. Okay? How do we know it's not the will of God? How many babies are they killing in New York every week? 6,000 babies. If those babies will be allowed to be born, and that's just the United States, not counting California and other states, and India, China, where they're killing thousands of babies every day. And all those babies, since they started killing them before I was born in 72. Actually, they started killing them in 72 is around when they started planning all this. The devil knew who was being born around that time. My brother and sister, let me tell you, the earth right now would have maybe 30, 40 billion people if they had not killed all them. But the food supply, you know, will be in trouble. There will not be enough food for all these people to eat. Lies from the pit of hell. If God can supply for almost 7 billion people enough food from the ground, God can do a miracle for all those 30, 40 billion people. The devil is a liar and wants to kill. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. people are going to see the mercy and the love of God in the millennium. Because God's going to take this earth, fix it, make it new again, make it livable again, pure air, pure water, pure everything. And how over 100 billion people walking on this earth, having fun, enjoying everything in his presence and worshiping him. The worship, there's going to be worship in the millennium 24 hours a day in Israel, in Jerusalem. I seen it. I heard it. I got in the middle of the night and taken by the Lord in the millennium in Jerusalem. And there are temples, places there, people worshiping the Lord 24 hours. My brother, you hear the most beautiful music. They're playing instruments and worshiping him. And you go down the street, you hear another building. The music loud, worshiping the Lord in the millennium. People in the presence of the Lord filling that place. God rejoicing in his creation. My brother and sister, rejoicing, loving on them. And none of them can complain they don't have what they need. Everyone have what they need from him. He provides everyone all. And to him, that's nothing. 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 My brother, everything to him is like nothing. When you meet God, when you see his power displayed in front of you, you will say, we humanity, we went blind. The devil had deceived humanity in such a way. God can provide to trillions of people daily food. And every day, they can eat three meals a day or more if they want without a problem. By just speaking the word, my brother and sister, and feeding them. I said that to the children of Israel. They ate meat 30 days until their noses. My brother and sister, they were so satisfied. Hallelujah. But he did it in a way that they complained. God can provide for humanity everything humanity would need immediately. Hallelujah. Jesus turns around and says to his disciples, 5,000 people, they are hungry. Feed them. The disciples still did not have that understanding. You know, he said, asking us to feed them. You know, they're thinking they didn't have probably the money or the food. And the Lord, what do you have? Oh, three loaves of bread and fish. And all right, give it to me. And he takes it and bless. He thanks God. Oh, I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And there was not enough canister to hold the fish and the bread that will be multiplied every second. Every second. The more they took out to eat, the more the food was multiplying. God is not wasteful like humanity is. God is not wasteful. As they were taking food out of the canister, fish and bread, wonderfully cooked. Remember when Sister Chu Thomas said that the Lord took it near the lake in heaven, and Jesus grabbed a fish from the water and cleaned the fish very well. And they had like this grill next to them with all the seasoning there. And the Lord cleaned the fish, seasoned the fish, and put it on the grill and gave Sister Chu Thomas a piece. And she ate. She said it was the most wonderful fish I ever tasted in my life. He will cook it for you, I'm sure. My brother and sister. And she said the water was full of fish, all sizes of fish, big and small. Oh, fish everywhere. No luck. You can pick 1,000 fish now in a few minutes. It's right there. The fish are right there. My brother and sister. Plenty. I tell you that I saw a lake hundreds of billions of times bigger than our galaxy. My brother, a lake in one of the planets that God has up there that he spoke and it is. My brother and sister, our galaxy, if you could grab a whole galaxy and drop it into the lake, it will be like you're dropping a marble, like nothing. Everything you and I see in the sky, to him is like nothing. He got planets so big, so beautiful, and so full of life that when you go see them, you are going to say, my Lord, my God, This devil has deceived humanity in such a way, my brothers and sisters, because he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Humanity didn't know his grip, how he's just been lying to them, deceiving them. But the Bible says he came to destroy the work of the devil. He knows that all these lies, the Bicene and all this stuff, will be the work of the devil. My brother and sister, we need to trust the Lord. We need to put a total trust in Jesus and forget about this earth. He told me, he was talking to me this morning, and he says to me, the plan to have a better car, another car, or a house, he was telling me, talking to me, says, like, we're planning to have things, like people are planning to have things. He says, nah, don't plan on this earth anymore, he says. Don't plan on this earth. Because he was showing me what's going to happen soon. He says, look forward to be going home. He says, you'll have up there all you need. My brother and sister, and I was like, hallelujah. He said, those that are planning down here to have things like houses, cars, and all those things, those are planning to stay. If you're looking forward to be going home, look forward to be going home, he said to me. Amen. My brother and sister, great advice from our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Great advice from him. He knows all things. We need to hear him say to us these things so our eyes will be open. Hallelujah. To where we are, my brother and sister. We are in the last of the last. Hallelujah. The last of the last. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness of all these things as the disciple, which he did, both in the land of the Jew and Jerusalem. He whom they hanged on a tree and slew. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Not all the people, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before by God, and even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. I wanted you to see here this word, that even for us to be a witness to what is going on, we've been chosen by God. There's no coincidence why we're in the last days, why we're here. Because you're probably wondering, why am I here? Why am I not in heaven already? Why is the church still here with so much happening? Because we are witnesses of the Lord. The apostle said that what the Jesus revealed not to all everybody, but to them that were bought unto witness chosen before by God. God is the one who chosen us to be witness. My brother and sister, he was the one who chosen us for the last day to be witness unto Jesus. Because in the court of God, we're going to be asked, did we see? Did we hear? What did you see? What did you hear? And you're going to stand. They'll say, Brother Miguel, stand in the court of the Lord. What did you see? What did you hear? And you have to testify. You have to say what you saw. You have to say what you heard. Can anyone else witness to what this brother had said? And then the sister Luna will stand. And they'll say, what did you see? What did you hear? And you'll begin to testify in the court. Hallelujah. I heard, I saw them doing this to people. I saw them when in my work, they made the vaccine mandatory. And I had to quit my job because the state made it mandatory for health employees. Do you used to work for the federal government? Yes, I did. I was an employee. Can you testify that you were an employee of the federal government of the state of California? Yes, I can. What did they say? And then you'll say, they say, and they approve the vaccine mandatory, and I had to quit my job. And right before there will be government standing there, and the government will be like, wow, yes, she was one of them. The proof will be there. You're a witness. Can anybody else testify of this? Then someone else will stand and testify, another sister, another brother, and say, yes, I was also an employee, and the government made the vaccine mandatory. And we have all these witnesses in the throne of the Lord, the throne of God, my brother and sister. Okay? The proof, God's going to show his proof to them. Hallelujah. Because the witnesses are the Lord's people, the Lord's bride. And the Lord's bride, who having heard the Lord, will be ready to testify for the Lord. God will say, I have chosen my daughter. I have chosen my son for the last day. But you may stand and testify, yes. And you will say your name, and you will testify. And your testimony will be true, because the Lord is with you. His testimony is true, my brother and sister. And there's no defense on their part. Once you bring someone they brought to the court, and the witness are brought, and they testify, and the witness are two or three that this was Saul. Not that you only heard on television that the government passed that the vaccine is mandatory. No, that you have to quit your job because they made it mandatory. That will be your witness in the court, my brother and sister. This is the way things are going to be. For the Lord of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. My brother and sister, for what the Lord could not do, that I was weak to the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's why the work that is being done in us is a spiritual work, is the work of the Spirit. That's why we're being taught to walk in the Spirit and not according to the desire of our own flesh. The devil tempts people to walk in the flesh and the desire of the flesh because he knows the desires of the flesh are evil. But the desire of the Spirit is the will of God, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. So important we understand. For those who are according to the flesh mind, the things of the flesh, but those that are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The devil knows that if you walk according to the Spirit, you have decided to commit your life to the Lord. You're not thinking carnal so much because now you're walking according to the Spirit. But if you empower your flesh and only think of the fleshly things, fallen things, evil things, you're not pleasing unto God. But walking according to the Spirit, it is pleasing unto God. That's how we please him, my brother and sister. So when the Lord called us to fasting, what do we say? Amen, Lord. And we begin to fast. Some people, when the Lord called them into fasting, they want to know how many days, how many hours, because they're already planning to eat. They haven't begun to fast and they're already planning to eat. No, that is gluttony. Don't plan to eat. Eat because you have to eat. but not because you plan it every day. Plan to fast, plan to spend time with the Lord. Everything Jesus did in the Spirit, he planned it. He wanted to be with Father. He wanted to spend time with Father. He wanted to fast. He wanted to pray. He wanted to be close with Father. That's what he wanted. He never planned anything of the flesh. He ate because his flesh needed to eat, not because it was something he was looking forward to do. He looked forward to spending time with God because every time he did a miracle, at the end of the day, he disappeared to be praying with the Father all night long. And they looked for him. They could not find him. Wherever his secret place was with Father, it was secret enough that the disciples did not know where it was. They didn't know where it was. They would look for him. They could not find him. That was a secret place. Don't tell people where you pray. Oh, I play in my bedroom. I play in my closet. Don't reveal your secret place like the Lord. Keep it between you and God. Thank you, Lord. Where should I pray, brother? That's between you and God. Verse 6:4, to be carnal-minded is dead, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. You see why dead can be in people's mind? Because to be carnal-minded is dead. That's where dead resides, where dead is invited. Demons reside where they're invited. But if we're spiritual-minded, they're not invited. Only the Lord is invited in our mind, in our heart, in our lives. We only want the Lord when we're spiritual-minded. If we're always carnal-minded, then we're inviting someone else that's not supposed to be there. Death, demon, spirit. My brother and sister, no. Pray. Seek to be spiritual-minded. Fast to be spiritual-minded. My brother and sister, the only thing I know that the flesh is our enemy. It's an enmity against God because it's our enemy. My brother and sister, the flesh don't want the spirit. Because when the spirit get hold of the flesh, it quiet the flesh. Stop, quiet. Because it's how we please God is walking in the spirit. Walking the flesh. Every time you walk in the desire of your flesh, you're not pleasing God. No matter for how many hours and day you're doing so, you're not pleasing God. This is why so many are going into the Great Tribulation, because they have refused to walk in the Spirit. God giving them the opportunity to repent and walk in the Spirit. Oh, no, they want to walk in the flesh. God said, all right, stay in the Great Tribulation then. Go ahead. You're not going to have fun. The demons are not going to let you sleep. The Naphtalian, oh man, they hate humanity with a passion. Okay? They hate humanity with a passion. When they get released, they want to torment the living daylight out of every single human being on earth. They're not going to let anyone sleep. If you sleep, God may talk to you in the dream. You may dream and God may talk to you. And they don't want that. They don't want you talking with God. Oh, God talking to you. Okay? No. They want to make sure you don't get to have that. The Lord can have that for you. But they don't want that. They want to cut your communication with your God. They want it to be short, where you have no idea where to go, what to do. But if you stay in prayer always, then you'll know. He'll reveal you his plan for your life. Where to go, where to hide. Where's the best place for you to hide that they don't know? And they'll be crashing the hell looking for you. For people in the Great Tribulation that are praying, repenting, they cannot find them. God is hiding them. Didn't I say Revelation 12 that the woman was hidden by God? Someone was reading that today. That's so awesome. I was just listening to a preacher early in Spanish saying that about Revelation 12, how the woman was hidden in the wilderness. And the woman, we know as Israel, but she said that the woman was someone who was trusting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. This, it says that the woman fled into the wilderness. where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 years. And this woman was saying from God to this other person that God is going to lead her to a place where he's going to provide for her. So there might be people in the Great Tribulation who are walking with the Lord, with God, and repenting and seeking him, that he's going to lead them into a place where he's going to provide for them, a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 years. I believe that's three and a half Great Tribulation, or 7 years, either one. Someone can put the math together, my brother and sister. Okay? So the sister was saying, the pastor was saying, that there are people that God is doing that for them. Okay? And I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really awesome. So a lot of things you learn, things that God is saying. You know, bringing someone into the Great Tribulation, or someone ending in the Great Tribulation, and then it's repenting with the Lord, crying out to God. And then the Lord said, no, go to this place. They'll feed you there. While other people are going hungry, this person is being fed somewhere. The God is sending this person in the Great Tribulation to go. And angel will be feeding this person. And they're having enough food for them. Hallelujah. That's incredible. I thought it was, that is awesome. Sometimes you need to hear things like this. It encourages you. God supernaturally is providing to people who find themselves with no food, no water, because that's exactly how the Great Tribulation is going to be. No food, no water. Everything is contaminated. But it's going to get people to rise up with God, people that are backsliding, and come closer to him, and then come to the knowledge of him guiding them and leading them to a secure place prepared by God, a place of refuge where they're going to be fed there. My brother and sister, I thought that was so awesome. It's so awesome. God having this plan for some of his children and some of those that will turn to him crying for help. Because when God is involved, it doesn't matter what the next alien threat will be. There's nothing they can do. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angel, and prevailed not, neither was a place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil, and Satan, who deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. How much people of the earth is the devil deceiving them? How much people of the earth are taking the vaccine? That's the answer. The whole earth. You can go to China, India, Japan, any place in Europe, Canada, people are taking the vaccine. He deceived the whole earth. Mexico, people are being deceived. Island, people being deceived. Don't matter what country you go right now, you can buy your plane ticket and go right now. And people are lining up there right now to take the vaccine. He deceived the whole earth. How easily the people fall into his deceive? Easily, because they're not seeking God. They're not coming to the knowledge one, the Lord, to know what to do. My brother and sister, if they will come to the Lord, like the sister that heard the father say, do not, she heard him from heaven, my daughter, do not take the vaccine that they will offer you. Do not take it, my daughter. I believe he said it will not be pleasing to him. Do not take the vaccine. I don't want you to take the vaccine. And she was a new believer. It was the first time she testified that she ever heard God speaking to her. But she says, when he spoke to her, she felt so loved. But Father said from her from the cloud, from the air, my daughter, do not take the vaccine. You know that she's a soul of salvation. For God to speak to her that way. And she said she felt so loved. And she's a new believer, new Christian. God told her not to take the vaccine. See, you seek God. You cry out to God. He's going to speak to you. Hallelujah. He's going to speak to you. He's going to deliver you from taking the vaccine. You ask the Holy Spirit, he'll take it. Don't take the vaccine. You ask Jesus, he'll tell you don't take the right thing. You ask Father, he'll tell you not to take the right thing. No matter who you are, he'll tell you not to take it. So why do people who disagree with me say, I don't know, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna see. Man, whoever you are, they're gonna tell you not to take it. Simple. Why? Ask them why. I said, don't believe me if you don't want. Go ask God. Because he'll speak louder than I can. And more powerful. He'll tell you don't take it. Definitely he'll tell you not to take it. Why? Because he loves you. He doesn't want to lose you. Jesus doesn't want to lose one. Every day he pray for you before Father. Father, have mercy. Father, have mercy. He praying for your soul to be saved every day. Why would he want to lose you? He doesn't want to, he loves you. He gave his life for you on the cross. Why would he want to lose you? He doesn't want to lose you. You know, all I had to do is, before I come on the Lord's hour, is pray to him to give me a word. I go and pray with him. Lord, give me a word that I can bring to your people. And he loves you so much that he'll either take me to heaven, take me to the millennium, take me anywhere, and just show me and talk to me. Tell me. What he wants me to share, he just gives it to me. And I know he loved me, but it's not just not because he loved me. It's because he loved his people and wanted his people to know what's coming, to be ready and prepare. My brother and sister, God loves us. Doesn't want anyone to perish. I was in that wedding, remember? I didn't want to come out of the wedding. And Jesus, come on, come out with me. Follow me. I couldn't say no to him. He began to go back. But Lord, they don't want to hear anymore. Go back and tell them. If they don't want to hear, okay. It's on them. But go and tell them, he says. Praise your Lord. He loves you so much that he sent me back. He sent me back. He could have left me there. He goes, no, all right, my son, let your body die. You stay here. Forget about your body. You'll be fine. That's what he could have done. No, he wanted to send me back. He loves his people so much. He wants someone that he can send him to tell them. And he has several people he sent. How many people hear him? He's sending, giving the word. But he always wants that witness that he had chosen to go and tell them, my brother and sister, I'm just a witness. Like other witnesses who are saying, look, the Lord's telling you not to take the vaccine. Repent, seek him. Don't take the vaccine. Stay away from the vaccine. Even if you lose your job. Even if you lose your job. Because you're not willing to take the vaccine. Don't take it. Lose your job. You're losing it for the kingdom. You're losing it for Jesus. Lose something for him. Love is sacrifice. If you love him, you'll be willing to give your life for him. My brother and sister, love is sacrifice. Be willing to do anything for the Lord. Be willing to die for him. If you, him that will save his life will lose it. But if you lose your life, be willing to lose your life like the disciple for him. My brother, he'll provide for us. We're not going to go hungry. We're not going to go hungry. Father told me this now repeatedly. I will provide for my children, Father says. As the Lord is saying, the same. Lord is a witness of what Father is promising us. My brother and sister, yes, love will cost us. We love him. It's going to cost. We're going to have to be willing to die for him. But if you do, oh, my Lord, when you enter heaven, oh, you're going to see the face of the Redeemer, the angel. Oh, she is so blessed. He is so blessed, I'll say. You'll be like, why? Oh, the great reward of you dying for the Lord. What a great reward that is. That's one of the greater honor in heaven. You dying for Jesus is one of the greater honor. They'll treat you in such a special way. You'll be treated. You'll be so welcome in heaven. You did that for him? Wow, you are so blessed. Your reward is great in heaven. If you die for Jesus, when you see him, you have tears in his eye for you. My daughter, my son, You did that for me. That's a great honor in heaven. You see him with word not coming out of his mouth in tears for you in joy, or his son for his daughter. Are we willing to do something like that for him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He'll take care of us. He told me and my family he'll take care of us. He'll take care of you and your family. You don't need to fear for you and your family. If you continue to commit your life to him, he'll take care of you and your family. Their names are before God. They're being mentioned. You pray every day, your name, your family name will be mentioned before the throne. And Father said, yes, let them be protected. And it's so. He speaketh. Remember the Lord, Father, I'm sending him in your name. Please protect them. Father said yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. He has protected me, my brother and sister, from death. So many times brought me from even being dead. Nothing can happen to us unless he allows it. And if he allows it, we get victory over everything. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's what you need to have firm in your heart. Read your word. Romans 8, 28 and on. Read it. The promise of God. What can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. If you go to the female campus, maybe he wants you to win it to someone there. Be willing. Be willing. God wants you to do something. Oh, no, God, deliver me. I don't want to end up there. Oh, no, God, if you allow me to go there, use me there. Make me so powerful that when I speak your word, they'll tremble, they'll shake, they'll cry, they'll hear, they'll repent. Do the opposite. Instead of being afraid of ending there, tell him that if you end there, to make you very powerful there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I don't want to end up in jail, Lord. No, Lord. No. Lord, if you allow me to end up in jail, if that's your will for me to end up in jail before I go home, make me powerful, Lord. When I open my mouth, Lord, they will tremble. They'll hear your word. They'll go on their knees crying out to you, repenting, Lord, really seeking you, Lord. Use me mightily for your name if I end up there. Watch what happens. You pray that way, the devil, you need to stay away from that believer. Stay away from that man and that woman. Look how they're praying. I'll destroy my work, the devil will say to his demon. And see, instead of her asking not to go to jail, she's asking to be used in jail. She's going to destroy my work there. They will be afraid of you. Lord, give us wisdom to pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. It's different when the Lord empowers you to go do something. Then everything is changed. How many people ended up in jail? But when Joseph ended up in jail, things changed. My brother and sister, he changed the history of jail, of prison. Because he was mightily in there. Ended up in Egypt, God used him mightily. See, Abraham ended up in Egypt in the famine. He came there with more wealth than what he went in with. My brother and sister, Jacob went through it also. Hallelujah. With Joseph. He was blessed. The only one that not ended up in Egypt was Isaac. God told him not to go there. But where Isaac was during the famine, the lamb was blessed and there was water in the well. Not handy water. That's why they would call it the Jacob's well until this day in Israel. Remember in the time of Jesus, Jacob's well? Where that woman got saved. Why, my brother and sister? Because Isaac. Because that was their well, father, son. And God provided water there always during the famine. usually well during the famine. They dried up. Everybody knows that in those wilderness and deserts. But not Jacob well, not Isaac. He had plenty of water during the famine. It never dried up. So the children of Israel always had that, like a miracle thing that God did. Miracle well. They always claim it to be theirs. So it was a miracle that God did there, my brothers and sisters. So God, when God does a miracle, God can do anything. You got to believe him for it. You got to pray it. You got to claim it. You got to declare it. You got to ask for it. And God will do it. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. But if we act like we're so afraid that, no, not me, not my family, we don't want to end up there. Do the other way around. When the demon hear a prayer like that, oh, she's so afraid. Look at him. He's so afraid. Poor thing. He's so afraid. No. God, if I end up there, use me mightily. Use me to win soul for the kingdom. People to be delivered and saved. Is that weak? That's powerful. Praise you, Lord, for the glory. More soul for the kingdom, Lord. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. If I end up in jail, Lord, use me mightily. Make the jail wall tremble when your presence comes down, Lord. End up in the FEMA camp, Lord. Hallelujah. Use me mightily to win souls for your kingdom, Lord. But everyone who's there who's not vaccinated will come on your knees and cry out to you, and I will help and lead them to you, Lord Jesus. Heal people there. Save them. Do all kinds of miracles. Provide full supernaturally there. If you lead me there, Lord. And everything will change after that. That's praying with wisdom, with knowledge of the Lord. Don't be afraid to end up anywhere. Just ask the Lord that if you do, if that is his will for your plan, that he will use you mightily. That he will shake the ground there. He will shake the life. My brother and sister, that the enemy will be afraid, but his people will be repenting. Those that will be safe. Totally different. That's praying totally different. When I was going to a prison as a volunteer, God was moving so powerfully that I didn't want to come out. I'm honest with you, I wanted to stay there. I never met anyone who wanted to be in prison with other people. I was loving it. I was in love with those brothers ministering to them. As they were coming to the Lord, being saved, and the miracle and what God was doing. I love it. I love it. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. People thought we were miserable. No, we were loving it because God was doing so much miracle. Praise the Lord. People in the community were in and out of church. Those men there were crying out to God. Praise the Lord, and fasting and seeking the Lord. It was wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you. I know I have a family now to take care and all that. But I clearly said to my family, if we end up there, man, praise the Lord, hope God will use us there mightily for his glory. But I don't think there's enough time for that. The Lord, no. The rapture is so close. The great tribulation is so close. We don't have much. These signs are going to come to pass real quickly. And we're going to see them come to pass so soon. And then once they come to pass, there's nothing else. I mean, for what I seen, the what happened this morning, that he showed me before the great tribulation began, the people, the rapture happened, and people were wondering, where did all these people go? Where did they disappear to? And they had all these questions. And the Lord was speaking to me, how it is just over for us. He also said to me, after he showed me the rapture, I said, like, oh, I'm finally going into my rest. He said, yes. He says, you're going into your rest very soon, he says. You're going to go and rest, he says. So that was, to me, great news. That all these signs are going to happen quickly. Then the war in Israel, we know, is about to begin. The Eastern tsunami, it's a thing of the past. It's going to happen any day. The earthquake in California, you know, I don't like that the scientists are saying that's going to happen within 40 days. Why not within maybe 37 days or 36 days? They scientists are saying that this earthquake in California, they can detect and can tell that it's really so close, my brother and sister. Because then if it happens within that 40 days, you know, it's not going to help people to repent and really come to God, whoever end up being alive. But it's going to destroy. Someone said to me a few days ago that saw the earthquake in California 3 days ago, 2 days ago, and the magnitude was a 13. First I saw it in the dream. 13, magnitude 13. The earthquake in California. Is what she says she knew that they, I guess they were saying on the news, magnitude 13 earthquake. And she said that she knew that after this earthquake, California was, that's it. That was it. That was it. San Francisco building houses were all, building had collapsed and the houses were broken, cracked everywhere. I mean, you can't, if the house is cracked, the walls are cracked and all that, and the floor, you can't live in the house. You have to abandon the house. Okay? And the dead was, my brother and sister, the death were untold number. The media was going crazy. Like Fox News, CNN, they were going crazy on the death. They could not give an amount of how many people had died. And, I mean, whoever stayed alive had to leave the state. Because, of course, they're going to call it for tsunami. And the Lord has shown me there will be tsunami in California after the earthquakes happen. Okay? I heard the Lord say, yes, there's no going back on that. Tsunami will follow. May not be a major tsunami, but enough to really keep people away from the state. Whoever can escape, though, not many will escape. And whoever is a Christian die there for the Lord, hey, we'll go to heaven. We'll see you in heaven. It's no matter who. So you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. Whether you live or die, you will be with the Lord. That's all it is. Yes, 13 magnitude is off the chart. It's just, that would be great. Nothing closer to that ever happened. Not even half, I think. Not even, I don't think California had a 6 or a 7. I believe they did back in the, over 100 years ago. Had a 6 or 7, but that's what I was saying. 13, it will really destroy the state, and that's what this person saw that told me. You know, she knew that not many people could live because the building, a lot of the buildings fell upon people. Hallelujah. Just fell upon people while it happens. So it's horrible. Just horrible. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord had to really guide us in you know, every decision we make. I cannot say I'm going to go move to this other place. No, I have to ask the Lord, you know, where we can go, you know. But he does have place of rest in different state. He does, my brother and sister. He's in control. He knows where he can keep people safe. You know, when these signs happens, but basically after the signs, the 3 signs happen, which are going to happen, boom, one after another, the church is out. Like he showed me this morning, by the time he showed me the Great Tribulation, the church was out already. There was no believer, no faithful believer. They were just gone. And I can hear people talking about it. Where did they go? How did they just disappear like that? That made no sense. Government has to explain this to us, they say. You know, smart people, lawyers and doctors, and they always think that the government needs to explain things to them. Scientists need to explain these things to us. Oh, they'll explain it to us. Don't worry. They'll figure it out. They'll explain it to us. I don't think that science can explain, let's say, hundreds of thousands of Christians disappearing. Can science explain it? Can someone in the chat room, do people agree that science can explain it? Can they scientifically explain thousands of people and millions of children disappear? Can they scientifically explain it? It's a question. Hallelujah. I don't think so. Like to the point where, to say that God took them? No. I think that they will probably point it to, like God's been saying for years, to extraterrestrial. Thank you, sister. Sister says no. They can't explain it. How are they going to explain something biblical? Something that God promised? Because I heard people saying, no, science, government will explain it. Can government explain it now? I ask scientists if they can explain it. You say no. Can government explain thousands of Christians and millions of babies disappearing? Can they put it together and give them a truthful response, an honest response, an honest fact? Oh, this is what happened. You know? Because if they can point it to the Bible, it will be great. You know, if they can point it to the Bible and say, what the Bible said, only people will be disappearing. You know? And if you have people on television saying that, oh, yeah, some of the Christians believe that that God was going to take them out of the earth, they'll be mocking God. You know that. They'll be making fun. Because they'll say, no, it was aliens. Extraterrestrial. Being from another planet, which they can never prove anyway. Okay? Imagine Oprah explaining to the women how did thousands of people disappear. That's going to be terrible. Because she said there's many ways to God. So imagine her explaining. One way these people escape, and other people can go in another way. Lies, lies, lies. You see, my brother and sister, it'll be terrible down here, right? You know? I'm glad the Lord is showing it to me from taking me there. I see it. Get me out of there. I don't want to stay there. You know, it's better just to go to heaven. Like he said, go home and rest, I think. We need to go home and rest and let all this, you know. When he said that, you know, when he showed me the rapture, that people disappear, like, oh, we're going home. I said, yeah, I'm going to go home and rest. That to me, that's great news. Every other news down here is not great. When we hear about FEMA camps, people going to jail, the church being persecuted because they need to be vaccinated, because all the state, all the country, are going to make it mandatory. Oh, that's terrible. You know? I believe before the rapture, all the state, well, I mean, it could be 49 of the state or 48, but most all the country will make the vaccine mandatory for everybody. Okay? And all the country will also follow the same. India is already following the same step, China, and other countries, Japan, you know, Europe. I heard that the Europeans are looking into making the vaccine mandatory. I don't know where all that. I know the UK tried to do that, and they're having problem with that. But the European country is looking into make the vaccine mandatory. That's going to be terrible on people. The persecution will be great up in Europe. Okay? There are countries that are looking into this. And for that, they'll be changing law. And we know that Daniel says that the Antichrist will be changing law. So the Antichrist is behind all this. Because the only one point in the book of Daniel is changing law. Maybe this Tuesday night, we'll go into the book of Daniel and we'll talk about what the Antichrist is doing behind the scene, like changing law. Very important that people understand what's happening in regard to the end of days. Because he is the one appointed to change law. Okay? Because we know that Congress is the one appointed to change law. Not even the Supreme Court can change law. But right now, behind the scene, the Antichrist is pushing Congress to change law in the United States. Congress approved it by seeing mandatory, let's say by next year, they're changing law. And the one behind that, doing that, according to Daniel, is the Antichrist. Nobody else but him is looking into change law. And people cannot lose sight of that. Because a lot of people point to politicians and to government and to people. You know, and they're losing focus on who God said will be changing law in the last day. That's the Antichrist. He is behind all this. And we know he has. last 4 years of Trump, he was in office. He was in the White House. Before that 4 years, he was in the White House. Now for 4 years, he's in the White House. He's not planning to leave the White House. Okay? And so he's looking into changing law, my brother and sister. That's what that is. I also heard that the rest of the world is looking into the United States to changing law to make the vaccine mandatory for all the citizens. And if the United States, if the United States makes it into law all over the country through Congress, then the rest of the world will follow like domino effect and will make it into law. And we'll have everyone be vaccinated, mandatory. Whoever refuses goes into the FEMA camp or jail. Okay? United States is the leader on this because we know where the Antichrist is. And he's behind all this, my brother and sister. When I heard that, I was like, wow. There's a lot of things unfolding in the last day. That's why we need to go into the book of Daniel and see these things, read these verses, and share them out of the book of Daniel because they're given to us. The unfolding of these revelations is for the last day where you and I are in. That's what was told to Daniel, my brother and sister. I love that book. I really love that book because everything that is happening here now is in the book of Daniel. And when you read it, it's like reading the news. Even the things that they're planning secret is in the book of Daniel. Because what they're planning in secret by George Soros and all the elite, it is to make the vaccine mandatory. Bill Gates wants it mandatory. He's already talking to the news. He's already saying that it has to be mandatory, that that's what government needs to do. Bill Gates is saying that. Okay, so they're putting the billions behind the idea that the vaccine needs to be mandatory. And when there's billions of dollars behind it, you know that the Congress, you know, when they look into the money, someone said, follow the money. Because when you follow the money, that's where you see the change. And that money, those billions are bringing a lot of change. Okay? Now, someone said that was the reason why God allowed Bill Gates to have all that money. And it was not for him to do all that evil, first of all. But he's using it now. He's putting it in the hand of the Antichrist to be used for evil. And that's going to bring great consequence on his life, my brother and sister. God is talking to some of his prophets about removing a lot of the elite that are in office that are really bringing a lot of changes quickly. They're bringing changes quickly. They want to bring changes quickly because God is in control anyway. But what they're planning and what they're doing is against God's elect. And God's not going to allow them to take it too far. But will judge them for what they're doing, though. He will judge them for that. They will not escape. They will not escape his judgment. And if the bride needs to be a witness of him judging Bill Gates, George Soros, and all these people, if we need to be a witness of him, his judgment upon their life, we will see it. We've been chosen to be a witness, but if we need to witness that, then we'll see it before we're raptured, departure. My brother and sister, he's not going to take the bride home quickly without the bride seeing his word coming to pass. You know, flipping some stone. They need to see it because we're witnesses. That's a fact. We're witnesses. And witnesses need to see. They need to hear. My brother and sister. So it is for us to see and it's for us to hear. A lot of the things that are going to happen quickly because the rapture is about to happen quickly. Okay? Judgment will happen quickly before the rapture. And we will find ourselves wondering what's next as how quickly things are going to unfold. Earthquake in California is about to happen. The eastern tsunami is about to happen. The war in Israel is ready to happen. All these three judgments that the Lord's given me are about to happen quickly. Then rapture happened quickly. And the church is out, my brother and sister. Amen. Join us on Tuesday night. We're going to go into the book of Daniel. We're going to read some of the stuff I've been talking to you about. I like to read it out of the book and then explain it. And then we'll see how the Antichrist is walking behind the scenes, planning all this evil, because he's going to plan to use Congress, my brother and sister, to pass his law in the last day, and it's in the book of Daniel. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord Jesus make his face shine upon you. May he give each one of you his shalom. Shalom, shalom. Thank you for supporting us. Continue to support us. We are supporting the family in Israel that need our support, over 200,000 families that are homeless in Israel. And we are supporting these small organizations that are helping these families to have food and clothing, my brother and sister. Thank you. Shalom,
shalom. Zino lo mure di shikila pote e no di le parati
a great change of scenery in your life. And now the mountains shall be removed and hindrances shall be removed, and things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and there shall be an increased measure that shall come upon you, and you'll shake off the dust of the past and arise and shine, for the glory of God shall be revealed.
He never stops.